Crackle Fest 6 during Emerald City Comic Con weekend coming up Friday, April 8th at 8 p.m. at Hard Rock Cafe right here in Seattle. We're going to be bringing you great acts like Married with Sea Monsters, The Death Star, and of course Kirby Crackle. This is the biggest after-hours nerd music variety show during Emerald City Comic Con, and it's back, people. Crackle Fest 6, hosted by me, Aaron of the Air Raid Podcast. Get your tickets now. It sold out pretty quick last year. So go to KirbyCracklemusic.com, get your tickets, and I'll see you there. Let's get started with the show. Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 292 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Boom indeed, folks. Boom indeed. We have got a packed show for this week. Got some very special guests that are about to join us here. And we've also got a wonderful conversation with Wes Miles, the chief songwriter and vocalist for the band Rah Rah Riot. All right? They got some tour dates. They are on tour right now, April 4th, today, Monday. They'll be at the Bluebird Theater in Denver, Colorado. April 6th, they'll be at the Riot Room, Kansas City, Missouri. April 7th, the Triple Rock Social Club in Minneapolis, Minnesota. All in support of their latest album called Need Your Light, which is absolutely fantastic. Out now on Barsook Records. And you guys should definitely get your hands on that. And we'll get into that in just a moment. But first, let me turn these microphones up. And joining me here in the backyard, we don't normally do this for the intro, but it's a very special occasion. Peter and Jessica from the band Deep Sea Diver, just off of their, world tour? Was it world tour?
I wish. North American.
North American. So does that include Canada?
Yeah, it does. That's why we, in some cases, unfortunately, we generally had a good time in Canada. I was very sick in Canada.
Oh, no.
With bronchitis. And then, I was like 3 weeks into the tour, Garrett, our bass player, and I had like severe bronchitis.
So you both had it?
Yeah. And it was the worst in Montreal, so I feel bad for that show. But we had to cancel a couple shows.
Man. Oh, that sucks.
I've never done that.
Really?
Yeah. That's never canceled a show. Mm-mm.
What about you, Peter? Have you ever had to cancel a show?
No, I've thrown up at shows, and I've been so stiff with like a pulled muscle.
Yeah,
in your neck.
I haven't
right?
been able to like move a muscle except my arm, so I just look like a little robot. But I've never canceled a show. But it's great.
I can actually picture that in my mind, which makes me very happy.
Yeah.
And he's very animated as a drummer, so everybody probably knew something was up.
Right. So the new album Secrets just came out. The tour was in support of that. And how's things been going?
I think pretty well, especially considering that, we started our own label, High Beam Records.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we were kind of just tired of saying self-released,
sure,
quote-unquote.
Sure.
And it's funny because it's still, quote-unquote, self-released. We just gave it a name. But there's some validity, I think, that comes with that. And also, too, it caused us to step up our game. Like, I've known so many bands and been on labels before where it's like, you get either a bird's eye or a very centralized view of what's going on in a label.
Right.
And I feel that, we try to do things as proper as possible. And, we had PR and a radio team and distribution and all those things. And we were working overtime, you know, for the last like 4 months.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And, but it's the best. I mean, you know,
so you like it?
I do. I like, we, you know, we always like remind ourselves, like, you're going to care about your art the most. Not that someone at a label can't, but yeah, you're going to work the hardest for it to see it succeed. And, you know, if in the future, we're definitely not, like I said to you before we started this, you know, we're DIY until we don't have to be.
Right, right.
And yeah, so, you know, but DIY to us doesn't mean, you know, shoddy work. It we're still working our asses off, but.
Well, it seems like it'd be like a lot more work too.
It is,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, for obvious reasons,
mm-hmm,
you have to handle your own distribution and everything like that. Like, was that a pretty scary task for you guys? Like, what? Because for me, for a guy like me, like, that would just be, I'd go into overload, have a panic attack, and then bury myself in the backyard.
You know, we figured out a lot of systems, and most of, you know, distribution lies in the digital world now, where,
sure,
you're not having to think too much about,
yeah,
physical manufacturing and consignment within record stores, although we still do that, but
yeah,
that's,
yeah,
the easy part. The more complicated part is getting it seen like online, but we ended up, I mean, we just went through TuneCore, which is what most, you know, independent releases go through, or CD,
okay,
Baby or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah. And this might be boring business stuff for your listeners right now, so I'll speed up. But anyways,
I am not bored by this conversation.
Okay, cool.
At all, and
I'll
all
keep
that
going.
Matters.
But we got, you know, without
Peter is, he fell asleep.
Yeah, he's
I'm
already
out of here.
He's had one beer and he's passed out, drooling. I mean, we had like some really good pushes with, you know, unexpectedly with like Secrets being on the front page of iTunes the day,
yeah,
it came out,
yeah,
and things like that really, really help. And, yeah, you know, we still ship out all of our own Bandcamp orders. And even for that, I have a system where, I finally went pro and got like a label maker and a scale, and
go,
like, I am my home shipping,
right,
you know,
right,
office, and it's so much faster. I don't know what I was thinking before, but.
So Peter, what, I mean, does that kind of stuff stress you out at all?
I think it was really helpful to.
Get a little closer to your microphone there.
Oh,
buddy.
Yeah, you're right.
There you go.
Kiss it.
It was helpful at one point to kind of make the differentiation of, or I guess make the distinction of, business doesn't have to be douchey, and you don't have to,
sure,
be,
yeah,
imbecile and somebody that is, that I would never want to hang out with, you know, to do business. And
uh-huh,
so I think for things like distribution or even like promotion, if it becomes something that is artistic and you could be creative with it,
mm-hmm,
I think that's when it became fun for us.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, wait, we don't have to do it the same way.
Right.
But
right,
we could try to find unique ways to present ourselves. And
yeah,
that was fun.
Mm-hmm. Now, when was this decision come to?
That we were going to release it again on our own.
Yeah, because I remember you were on the show a
couple years ago.
A year ago? Or was it 2 years ago?
I maybe.
I can't remember. But I remember having a lovely conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that you guys were working on the new stuff,
yeah,
at that time. So was it like when you started working on the new album Secrets, which, by the way, everybody should totally go out and get, because it is amazing. Once again, you guys have killed it.
Thank you.
It's so good.
It nearly killed us.
Yeah.
Jokes on us.
Yeah, yeah. But was it a decision when you guys went in to record this stuff that, like, okay, we're just doing it on our own. We're going to create our,
right,
own label. We're going to handle everything.
No, definitely not. We actually really did want to find a label partner,
sure,
and somebody, you know, just expand the team of people that, you know, get it and want to help,
right,
out.
Right.
But, so, you know, we did the label rodeo run around for a little bit, and everybody said, oh, I love this, but nobody, you know, bit the line, and they just kind of fence sat for a while. And there was one company in particular that we really wanted to go with, but they, mm-hmm, were unable to put us on their,
yeah,
calendar for a whole another year.
Oh.
We were just like, we can't.
You can't wait.
Wait.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
So that's when we made the decision to put it out on High Beam.
Is that kind of a heartbreaking experience?
It can be.
Oh yeah.
Like, does that get to you still. I mean, you both are very well-seasoned musicians. And I would think that at some point, well, hopefully at some point, like, it gets better.
Yeah. Like, one can only hope.
Like, I mean, we were talking a little bit about this, like, off air, but, like I've been doing this show for almost, what, 6-7 years now or something. We were talking about people who have canceled on me recently, and I just, like, fucking, like, drives me insane.
Yeah.
You know, like. Like, you make a commitment, follow through with it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Because then that messes up everything for a whole bunch of other people.
Definitely. Well.
And I never get used to that. I never get used to that feeling.
Yeah. You think you have thick skin until, you know, you start sending your record out and you don't hear anything back. Or
right.
People start asking questions like, so what's the single? Like, in that kind of voice, you're like, I don't know. You tell me, man. Like, I don't want to think about it. But it's funny because we literally thought that this record was shit because of, you know, I'm a people like person, and I like to hear feedback about stuff. And he'll think whatever he's doing is like the best thing in the world. Doesn't matter if a million people are telling him it sucks. Uh-huh. So he has thicker skin than I do.
Just a complete narcissist.
Total narcissist. But yeah, like,
is that why you brought that weird little mirror with you?
And yeah.
You're looking at it right now. Yeah,
I'm just checking out how good I look.
Yeah, definitely. But we thought we were crazy because, you know, we really loved the record and then didn't really hear back from any people. You know, we lost a few business people on the way.
That is so surprising to me.
Yeah. And
that, and getting dropped by people that we were working with.
Right.
To be, you know, very candid. Mm-hmm. Like, was extraordinarily. What's that?
Oh, nothing. I had a tick.
You don't have to.
You cutting me off?
You don't have to say names.
Yeah, no names. Yeah, yeah. But extraordinarily discouraging to not only hear, you know, just like kind of lukewarm responses from the world that you want to be entering, but also the people that are close to you that have kind of like come behind you.
Right.
To get not only lukewarm, but, you know, drawing out of the situation.
Do you think it's partly like sifting through and, for lack of a better term, sifting through the shit? Like, because there's so much out there. Like, maybe we're not talking about the same things, but like, I feel like, you know, when you're trying to put something out into the world and you go by, you know, your Facebook page or, you know, your Twitter page, and you're trying to push all this stuff out into the internet, into the, you know, the ether, like, and you don't get a good response back. Do you think it's mostly because there's so much to sift through? Like, people just don't have the time, or
I think,
or what? Because your record is fucking amazing.
Thank you.
Like, I absolutely love it. And I can't figure out for the life of me how you guys continue to put out records like this. Like, it baffles me how talented you guys are.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that is being totally honest.
I think, keep going. Yeah, yeah. This is great. We're gonna hire you.
Done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, I think the state of the music business, nobody knows what they're doing.
Sure.
And so everyone is gravitating towards what is obviously a home run single, because mm-hmm. there's so little money in record companies and record sales that
you know,
everything is so low that to get behind something where you're trying to make a buck from it,
right,
and you don't see that thing, you know, that golden goose, then it's going to be a huge risk, and a lot of people don't want to take that risk. And so that was one reason why we did start the record label, and we're like, we obviously have put our life savings into this thing, and we believe that it's good enough to take a risk over. Mm-hmm. And so
I think it's a great idea.
So it's been fun. And like kind of the back end has been especially encouraging of just seeing a lot of people really enjoy it. And kind of a lot of business people now being really into it. And just like,
right. And now they're coming back. Yeah. And now they're going, hey, you remember that email that I didn't answer a year ago?
Yeah.
I'm answering it now.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, it makes me mad.
But it, I can see the look on Jess's face right now. Like, yeah.
It really did make us develop like a thicker skin, though. And I feel like
good. It
kind of put some fire in our pants to actually do a better job with our own release. Because we're just like, we want to prove them wrong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We want to show them that they're fucking assholes.
I want you to prove them wrong.
Yeah, me too.
I do. I really do. I love you guys.
Thank
so
you.
Much.
Love and, you too, and, Aaron.
Oh, thank you so much. That's very
I like you strongly. I'm not there yet.
Well, you are a narcissist, so you love nobody else but yourself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, now you're talking.
Right? Yeah. Moving on just a little bit, one of the songs that you released, and I can't remember because this is just how my mind works. I don't remember song names, and I don't remember... for the most part, album titles.
Okay, I can help you with that.
Okay. The album is Secrets. The song that you have a video for.
See These Eyes
that you filmed in a big abandoned warehouse, mm-hmm. right? Somewhere in Washington,
yeah.
I'm guessing. And a cameo with Dave Matthews.
Mm-hmm. Just the king.
How the fuck did you get Dave Matthews to come and wearing a shirt that says cameo on it?
I made that shirt.
Which was the best.
Yeah, he's a customer at Lighthouse where Peter works.
He was.
Really?
I hadn't seen him in a couple of years.
But
he would come in and he was great. He always ordered a quad Americano and a macchiato.
Yeah?
And he would always just be a cool guy. And so it's just like...
I've always heard he's so nice.
He's the best.
He's very, very funny too.
Yeah. Is he really?
Yeah. And I
want to get him on this show. I've been trying to get him on this show.
Oh, you got it. We'll put in a good word.
Yeah. Will you please?
Yeah.
Please do.
It's so funny.
I've never been like a huge fan of that style of music, but I just think he would be really fascinating to talk to.
No, I'm the same. Like I was never a fan of Dave Matthews Band, but
except for
him
the,
as a person,
the neck tattoo that you have of the dancing.
Yeah,
I was trying to hide it. Yeah. I'm trying to hide it. No,
it's covered in rouge.
Yeah,
he looks like a rash.
No, he's honestly like one of my favorite people, and I've only hung out with him at the video once. He went and got coffee with us.
Oh, cool!
And
cool.
He's just a total badass.
Yeah. So you just asked him to like what? Did he come into the coffee shop and you say, "Hey, you know, we're making a video."
I texted him and kind of like laid out the idea,
and he texted back, "Who the fuck is this?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
How did you get this?"
Idea? Yeah. I basically said, "So in this song, it's kind of like fun and dancey and." You know, has like kind of a Talking Heads vibe and everything's going to be really colorful. And we just thought it would be funny if you were just sitting down in a chair while Jessica played a guitar solo. And I got a response back like the next day just saying, I'd love to do it.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
I think his
That's
only so cool. like thing was he said he wouldn't take off his pants, right?
Yeah.
He would do anything else but that.
So we fired him on the spot. Yeah. We just got a lookalike to be in the video.
Right. It actually wasn't him.
Yeah.
So what do you guys got coming up? We you guys got some shows coming up in May,
mm-hmm.
and you are also playing Timberfest.
Yes.
We are making the announcement first here because...
Exclusive.
Air raid exclusive. Because Mr. Kevin Sir was over here earlier today helping me build a fence. Neither of us had built a fence before, and I was really proud because I totally Tom Sawyered him.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, come over and, you know, I'll just let you build this fence for me. And
mm-hmm.
he was like, okay. So it was perfect. And he said that I could announce that you guys are playing at Timberfest this summer in
that
Carnation,
is true.
Washington.
Yeah, we played Timber, the Winter Festival
so much
a couple
fun.
Years ago, and it was great. Yeah.
So much fun.
And we love Kevin, and so we're excited to do the summer version.
Yeah, that'll be in July.
Mm-hmm.
And the May dates, the Catalyst, Tuesday, May 3rd, Santa Cruz, California. The Independent in San Francisco on the 4th. 6th in Los Angeles, California at Telegram Ballroom.
I think it's Terragram.
Terragram?
Is it Terragram?
I'm not wearing my glasses, so it... Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
I only know that because I've heard so many good things about that venue.
Are you excited to play it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. Our last show was at the Echo, and sorry if any Echo people are listening, but I don't like to play there.
Oh no. Yeah. Are there venues that you guys just are like, ah.
Yep.
Becco. Yeah, but I mean, spread out across the country, mm-hmm. it's hard because, you know, we're definitely not snobby about playing smaller venues and, you know, with bad PAs or anything like that. We care most about the vibe in the room and the people that want to be there.
Yeah.
But of course, it is nice when people take care of their stuff. Yes. And, yeah, you know, you have more than two monitors on stage or...
Right.
And we now tour with a sound person, which helps immensely to kind of sort through the shit. But I really love and appreciate places like the Bartlett in Spokane, that it's owned by musicians. They run it like musicians, and or just in the mindset of that.
Yeah.
And
sure,
it just sounds amazing. The PA is great. The room looks cool. It doesn't smell like, you see them after every show, every time they're like always like mopping up right away. So it doesn't smell like stale beer in there, uh-huh, or anything. Uh-huh. Yeah. People like, you know, owning their stuff.
Yeah,
so,
man, that's good.
I like nice
venues.
It's like
putting out your own label.
Exactly.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, the album is called Secrets and it is fantastic. Thank you guys so much for joining me for the intro of the show.
Oh man, it's over.
It's over already.
We're just getting started. We're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
Do you want to hire us for some more landscaping or fence building?
Yes, I do.
Because we need some money.
As
so,
a matter of fact, I showed you some of my edging work out there, and I will now show you how to install it in my backyard.
Okay, let's go.
All right. What song should we play off the record?
Let's play, gosh, I don't know, Body on the Tracks?
Great Light.
Great Light. Oh, you want to end it somber?
Oh.
Let's do something upbeat.
Just play See These Eyes. You were talking about
it. See These Eyes? Okay. All right. Yeah. We'll do that. Go check out the video.
Imagine
as well.
Dave Matthews as you're listening to it.
In a shirt that just says Cameo, which is awesome. Not the band Cameo, the actual, you know, famous person showing up in a thing Cameo. The band is Deep Sea Diver. The album is Secrets. And we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears with special guests this week, Ra Ra Riot. Wes Miles of Ra Ra Riot. All right. Be back in a moment. Stay with us.
We'll be right back.
talking about, you know, secret codes to infinite lives, or what was it? It was like 99 lives, or was it infinite in Contra?
I don't know, but I guess effectively they're the same thing. Because I mean, how many times are you going to go through 99 lives?
It's pretty quick, dude. You die pretty quick in that game.
Yeah.
Like, it's really hard.
I actually don't know of anyone who's ever beaten that game.
I don't think I do either.
I mean, you know, you'd get really far in, like, a slumber party or something, but I think you'd probably get frustrated or bored before you beat it.
I gotta tell you a story.
Okay.
So, speaking of slumber parties, Matt Owen, okay, good friend, grew up with him. He was kind of a nerd. Worked for at a very young age, he worked for Nintendo as a game tester.
Okay.
And
that's a lucky job.
Yeah, right.
Especially for a nerd.
For a kid.
Yeah.
For a kid, he was only like 10 years old.
Yeah.
And so he had a big slumber party for his birthday this one year, and we were all staying up and playing this this game called what was it? It was like you were some Russian fighter or something like that. Okay. Does that ring a bell? It's a bald Russian fighter. I think it starts with a K.
No.
Krazan or something. Okay, so anyway, details that don't matter, right?
I remember Zangief from Street Fighter, but...
No, that wasn't it. This was like NES.
That was the name of the character, was something with a K?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So stay up all night. Okay. Everybody takes turns playing it. And everybody's using the same controller.
Uh-huh.
It comes to my turn. We're almost to the final level, and I want to try the big gamepad controller with the joystick.
Oh yeah!
So I unplug the normal controller.
Oh no!
Plug in the bigger controller.
Uh-oh.
Of course, doing that, I didn't know. You know, I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
Shuts the whole system down.
Yeah.
Ruin the party.
Wow! Did your parents have to come and pick you up?
Pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was it.
Wow. That's rough. That's
right.
Clearly, it was traumatic because you remember it all this time.
Yeah, yeah. I remember everything bad that has ever happened. I think is how I live my life. And
especially video game related.
exactly. That and breaking little tiny models and stuff like that I shouldn't have been touching. Wes Miles of the band Rah Rah Riot joining me here down in the basement of Numo's.
Yeah,
you guys are playing tonight.
Yeah.
You've been on tour?
We have.
How long now?
We're coming into the fourth week now. Coming into the fourth week, and there's 2.5 more after this.
So. 2.5 more.
Yeah.
Dude, 6 weeks.
Yeah. Yep. But, you know, we've been looking forward to this for a long time. It started to, really come into focus there for a second. But, yeah, no, we've been looking for it for a long time.
Uh-huh.
So it's still a great feeling to be out on the road as of right now.
Good.
Yeah.
You still enjoy it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Even these long extended periods.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of the only way we know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We do short tours every now and then, but I find the band is the best when we're like in the middle of a long tour and we just are so locked in that it's just really easy to play everything really well and fun.
You get to that point where you're just like everybody's on fire.
Yeah.
On point.
Yeah, just raining threes.
Yeah. Just raining threes.
Yeah.
I like
on
it.
On fire.
Very, very nice. Was that an NBA Jam reference there? We're keeping with the Nintendo references.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that, Wes. So, you know, I had this thought as I was driving down here. How long have you guys been a band now?
10 years and 2 months.
10 years and 2 months.
Yeah.
How many minutes?
Yeah. So many minutes.
But I was having this thought as I was driving down here, that like, you know, when you've been a part of a group for so long, like you see so many changes happen
in people's lives, and yeah. You know, friends come, friends go, friends die, family members, stuff happens,
yeah,
things of that nature. Do you ever, are you like me in the fact that, like, you look back on something like that and you're just like, whoa, this thing, this entity, this band that I'm in has had such an impact on my life and been such, like, such an integral part of all of this stuff.
Yeah.
That it becomes kind of, you know, God, what am I even trying to say? Like, it becomes part of your life cycle, right?
Yeah, I mean, it at times it feels like more than half of, you know, at least 51% of my life is the band.
Well, this is your job.
Yeah.
Right.
And, yeah, and some of my closest friends are in the band. And,
uh-huh.
Yeah, a lot of things. We have this fun game we play where it's like, who can remember this show first, or who can remember this event first? And it's like,
right.
One person remembers something from a show from 8 years ago or something, and, oh, we've been to this place, and no one can remember what it is, but basically we kind of, we each have these select details from the venue or from the night, and we talk through it, and then eventually everyone starts to remember. Or some people don't, like,
yeah.
Me, I have a horrible memory, so there's so many things I don't ever remember. But eventually we find that through talking through it, someone knows everything, every, like, detail about the show is known by at least one person.
Right, right.
So the collective memory...
So you
memory,
can basically, it's like a jigsaw puzzle. Like,
yeah.
One person remembers one thing, the next yeah. person remembers
another. Oh, that reminds me that... You know, after they broke the ping pong table,
right.
They said they were going to send us a new one, but it never came.
Tell know? Me that story.
that was from Caveman. That was just like 2.5-3 years ago.
Yeah.
We
you big ping pong guy.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Whole band.
Die Hard ping pong. Yeah, mostly. Mostly Matt and I
okay.
and Kenny are like the big the bass player and drummer, and I are the big ping pong players. We had room in the trailer at the time, so we brought this ping pong table for the whole U.S. tour.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we had two ping pong tables that year. The first one just yeah, well,
for
throughout
tournaments?
The year.
Oh, okay.
No, one just kind of fell apart, and gotcha. Maybe we left it somewhere. But the second one that we replaced it with was, we'd set it up and we'd play for basically all of our free time,
mm-hmm.
especially in places where the venue's like out of town or like somewhere random with just like nothing happening nearby.
Sure, sure. Gives you something to do.
Yeah, and it's good for your brain to play ping pong. Will Shortz has famously noted that it works all of the parts of your brain that crossword puzzles do not. So if you do a crossword puzzle and play some ping pong, in a day you work your entire brain.
And you basically just become Einstein.
Yeah, you become Einstein or Will Shortz, you know, which would be cool too. But so basically this one day, I don't even remember what it was... for some reason, Salt Lake City is coming to mind. We set it up and played for, you know, however many hours. And Caveman played, and then we played. And then when we got off stage, they came onto the bus and were like, hey, guys, that was an amazing show. That was so great. And it was like, they're obviously like they're friends of ours. They're super nice. They would say that anyways. But
uh-huh.
the way they said it, we're like, "What's going on?" And then soon
right, like
enough,
they were alluding to
yeah,
something
like,
that had
hey,
maybe something
so
happened here.
Before you even freak out, we just want to let you know we ordered a new one. It's on the way. It's getting shipped to Minneapolis or whatever. But we were having a little bit of fun, and the ping pong table is shattered in a million pieces. So
somebody jumped on the ping pong table.
Yeah, jumped basically. Or was thrown upon it.
There you go. Yeah.
There was an amazing, I mean, it was amazing because we went then to see the remains of the ping pong table, and there was like a man-sized cutout from one side of the ping pong table where one of them had been thrown. And
really, like,
and the
it
other
was,
side
like,
was
almost like I'm in my head, I'm picturing like a, you know, Daffy Duck being thrown through
really
like a brick wall or something
like
that.
Cartoonish in its outline.
That's pretty cool.
So, you know, needless to say, we couldn't be that mad because it was hilarious.
Yeah. I should save that half of the table too. You know,
I only wish we had seen it happen. That's really the most unfortunate part about it.
Right. Yeah. Totally.
So.
So what else are you into, man, besides ping pong, besides old Nintendo games? What do you do on tour in these extended periods?
Well, those things sound very exciting to me right now. We haven't had a lot of free time this tour because of this enormous lighting rig we have. But another thing we did...
I saw that when up there when you guys were doing sound check. By the way, it sounded awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been... I mean, the tour's been going great. Have no complaints in that regard. Uh-huh. You know, it's a lot of work. This time we didn't have room for a ping pong table, but we brought our street hockey gear.
Really?
Yeah. We have.
I like how you guys are so active.
Yeah, well, we haven't, in 4 weeks, we haven't busted it out once. Yeah, which is really sad because we used to play all the time. Anytime it's either ping pong or hockey every day.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. And we just have had no free time this tour.
Well, you guys have pretty much, I mean, with the exception of last night, you guys have been pretty much just stop after stop after stop, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and even on our off days, we've had stuff to do. Like, we had an off day a week ago, and we were in the studio. Uh-huh. And then we had an off day yesterday, and we had to do a bunch of meetings throughout the day. So,
yeah.
Not that that's that bad. It's just that, you know, you don't really have a day to just piss away on video games.
Sure. Yeah.
All that often.
That sucks, man. Yeah. I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry.
Pity me.
I do.
Yeah.
I really do. Yeah. I feel your pain. I'm a father of two very small children.
Oh, yeah.
And I am a gamer.
Yeah.
And it really pains me that I cannot finish Fallout 4.
Oh, yeah.
You
that's
know?
Funny. Yeah. That's one I haven't played yet, but...
A lot of man hours.
Yeah.
A lot of man hours spent on that thing, man.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Are you a family man? Do you have family back home?
I am still the baby of my family, sort of. Actually, no, that's not true at all. I have a niece.
Okay.
I am currently engaged.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, but I have no children, so. Yeah. But yeah, my brother just had a kid, and she's adorable. Yeah, that's kind of it. My life at the moment is very much wrapped up in this music thing.
Sure. Does your fiance come with you on tour sometimes?
No, she is extremely busy herself. She's a midwife.
Oh, okay.
So she's like, you know, more busy than I am.
Yeah.
It's very difficult for her to.
And her job is way more traumatic.
Yes, and, you know, in some ways a lot more important for certain people, yeah.
Let's see, hey, you know, art, giving birth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Lives are at stake.
It's still, both things are very important, yeah. Wes. Don't sell yourself short, okay?
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, you said, you just said earlier that, you know, yesterday you guys had meetings, a couple days before that, you have you know, studio time that you need to do. Did this ever cross your mind when you started a band?
The
business portion of it, was that ever a thought?
Well, yeah, it's a good question. I mean, certainly so many things about the music industry are not really intuitive. And definitely things that, like, when we started out, I wouldn't have thought we'd be doing right now.
Mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of people, you know, I would say most people that I've talked to in the 300-plus interviews that I've done for this show, wow, that musicians, like, nobody ever thinks that it's going to make it to the point that they're at.
Yeah.
Right? It's, you start it on a whim. You say, I like playing music. The business part comes later.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and definitely music is always the top priority. It's always been, like, one of the most, if not the most important thing in my life since I was a kid. Just always have been passionate about making music and singing in particular. When the band started, we kind of... we're just taking up some extra time. Most of us were going to leave the next semester and
started in college.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We started at Syracuse and, I think most of us were like, yeah, this is fun. I don't have much else to do. So, and then, you know, I didn't really have a idea of what I wanted to do after college either. So
your NES was broken, like most of them were. And then, you needed to put your artistic energy somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, things kind of snowballed pretty quickly, which was great, because then I didn't have to... I had an LSAT scheduled for February 2nd or whatever of 2006.
LSAT, that is the test to become a attorney.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, well, to... I guess to... apply for law school.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's on the front end, whereas, like, the bar is on the back end.
Gotcha. So you studied law?
No. I thought that would be a possible path forward for me if music were not going to work out. Or...
being a lawyer was your backup plan?
Well, backup plan sounds like I actually thought I was going to do it, but my major was physics.
Really?
Yeah, I had a minor in Japanese and in linguistics. I just didn't really know what I was going to do.
Yeah, because what do you do with physics, right? I'm a geologist by trade.
Oh, really?
And so I had to take my physics courses and stuff, quantum mechanics and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, man, that stuff really, really goes over my head.
I just love it so much. Yeah.
I like the experimentation part of it, portion of it, but a lot of the calculations, the quantification of all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, really, I had a lot of trouble with that stuff.
Yeah, the calculus, the differential stuff is really, can be tedious sometimes. I just found conceptually and theoretically to be really inspiring and just so interesting. Stranger than fiction, you know.
Yeah.
The real world is so bizarre. But, so I guess, you know, your paths are academia or become an engineer.
Become Neil deGrasse Tyson or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's easy to be him.
So many people have done it.
Yeah. It's another Neil deGrasse Tyson. Yeah. So, you know, so needless to say, I'm best suited for music.
Well, I think you're good at it.
Thank you.
You're doing well.
I'm certainly not good at anything else anymore. So,
have you forgotten most of the math?
I wonder, actually. I mean, I found that stuff to be really intuitive. So, but I haven't, you know, obviously I haven't tested it in a decade. So,
yeah, I've lost it.
Yeah,
I've absolutely lost it. I don't have to do that kind of math anymore.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
For my day job.
Yeah.
And it just, like, when somebody asks me to you know, try it out, for lack of a better term. Yeah. You know, I don't know what to say right there, but like, but use my skills that I learned in college, which was many years ago now.
Right.
I will go, well, I think we need to pass this on to a consultant. You know,
good advice.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. And with that, let's go to our second musical break. We're featuring music off of the new album, Rah Rah Riot, Need Your Light. All right. And we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears with special guest this week, Wes of the band. Stay with us. When bands are on tour and stuff, and you come down and you're like, hey, spend 45 minutes with a stranger talking to me about, you know, whatever the fuck.
Yeah. And
slumber parties and NES, you know. Just try to bond with a stranger for a moment, will
you? Just do it. Go on.
Is that a weird thing, by the way? Like, when you get asked to do these kind of things, like interviews and stuff like that, do you kind of... And tell me the truth. I want you to be completely honest.
Okay.
Like, are you just like... I guess I have to.
There's definitely a shred of that, but you know, like everything else, there's various emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Usually when you're like, I looked at the schedule last night for today and I saw I had an interview at 2 and then another interview at 5 and I,
wait a minute. Yeah. You did another interview today?
I did.
With who?
Falklands Radio.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
No, I'm just joking.
Yeah, you're getting the dregs. I'm really not fresh anymore. I'm just like coming up with shit. No. I think, but you know, obviously I want to like talk to people. I want to, promote the record cause I believe in it and the band cause it's fun. And, but to be totally honest, stuff like this is really much more fun than like, where'd you get your band name from?
Oh my God.
Which isn't that common, but it happens more than you think, you know, like,
I think it's pretty common, yeah. man. Like, yeah. I think that question is extremely common. I've had this conversation, this exact same conversation, yeah. so many
I'm
times.
I'm sure, yeah.
Like, because I have personally never asked that question.
Well, that's great.
Like, that doesn't feel to me like something that's interesting.
It's not. It's an awful story.
Yeah. Because if you've ever been in a band, which I was, I play music, yeah. Not well, which is why I started a fake radio show. But like, you know, if you've ever been in a band, it's like you get a name from just sitting there stoned with a guy,
exactly.
with a guy sitting next to you who just says something like, yeah. you know, dumb.
Yeah,
and you're
exactly.
like, that would be, that's, all right, let's name
just
it that.
Let's use it that for now. Yeah. And then we'll figure something else out later, right. and you never do.
Right. It's never interesting.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, my God. Well, Wes Miles, take me back a little bit. Like, you said that music has been a big part of your life since you were a kid. Yeah. Were your parents heavily invested in music as well?
Yeah. Like, yeah, both my parents are musicians.
They are?
Yeah.
Like, What type of musicians? What are we
talking? My dad was like in a lot of bands as a younger person.
Oh, that's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. And he also, actually both my parents just know a lot of just kind of weird people, weird creative people.
What do you mean?
Just like all their friends from college days that they still hang out with and that I know are mostly very creative, and some of them still have bands that are fun, and they have this band that comes over still and plays with my dad, and
uh-huh.
They sing these beautiful like folk songs and you know, what, perfect harmonies.
What do your parents do, if you don't mind me asking?
My dad has done, well, he mostly does like production and
musical production or
like video
production. Okay.
Yeah. And he wrote for he co-wrote this movie called Beastmaster 2.
You're shitting me. No yeah. fucking way.
Yeah, he co-wrote that movie.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, so what? He's done a lot of weird, cool things in his life.
You must have been alive during that, right? That was like, what, 85, 86?
Yeah, I was, I was born in 84, so...
Oh, okay.
It was before my memory.
Oh,
but,
man.
Yeah.
Did he get to? So he got to like be on set for all that just weird shit that
yeah.
was in that movie.
Yeah. I don't know how much like set involvement he had.
Oh, really?
But, I actually don't know for sure. But,
okay.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah. So that's the kind of thing that he's done all these weird things throughout his life. And,
yeah.
My mom has done like accounting, a lot of accounting, but they're both musicians, hobbyists, and
mm-hmm.
have played in bands. And my mom's a great singer. And,
so you're surrounded.
Pianist. Yeah. And my brother is a great bass player. He was a jazz major, at NYU. And,
cool.
I always kind of looked up to him because he was so good at one specific thing. And
yeah.
But able to do a lot of different
yeah.
things.
So you're surrounded by instruments when you were a kid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my parents made me take piano lessons.
Did you like that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I really didn't. Which is unfortunate, you know. But maybe that's just, it turned out how it was supposed to be anyways. I also took saxophone lessons and drum lessons.
Really?
And yeah.
Was that by choice or was that kind of a forced thing as well?
I was more into those two things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, I loved playing drums. I think a lot of singers are like, maybe just kind of wish they were drummers. Because you don't have to, like, worry about your voice and stuff. You can just bang things.
Dude, that's the one.
You don't have to be the voice and the face.
Yeah, yeah.
Just hit things in the background.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Drums and trumpet.
Yeah.
The two instruments that I can keep one beat on the drum set. The trumpet is just, like, I had a buddy of mine, like, let me borrow his trumpet for 3 months. And I could not figure the thing out.
Yeah.
Like, it was so hard. I mean, the trumpet always looks so easy, right? It's
got
three little things, and then you blow in one side of it.
Yeah.
But it's the hardest instrument to learn.
Yeah, that's one thing it's I insane. Could never do, the brass instruments.
Right.
The reeds were more intuitive to me.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And obviously drums.
Yeah.
And singing, but the brass is tough. Yeah, it never made sense to me.
Yeah, yeah. So you're surrounded by, as a child, you're surrounded by this music.
Mm-hmm.
And you have, sounds like kind of a bohemian upbringing, a little bit. Except for the Beastmaster 2 part.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, yeah, maybe in a sense, yeah.
Yeah.
Post-hippies, yeah. Definitely my parents.
A lot of artistic things going on around
sure.
you at all times.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when does little Wes Miles start his first band?
I think my first band, aside from... this is hard to remember, but aside from like concert band and, you know, whatever, like school band that I started playing drums in and saxophone, I think my first like extracurricular band was, I think it was called The Furies.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
How'd you come up with that name? No. Don't answer
that. I don't even remember. Anyways, I didn't come up with it. I think I was just the drummer of that band.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first time that you got up on stage and played in front of people?
I don't remember the first time, but I remember. Well, maybe I do remember the first time. I think maybe my first concert ever was like 6th or 7th grade graduation.
Yeah.
My band, I think it was the Furies we played. It was the Furies or the Aquatones. Because the Aquabats was a real band, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so we were
They're
the Aquatones.
Like some kind of weird, like, I think weird, like, children's music, maybe Aquabats.
No, I think it was
I think it was like
a ska or like a surf ska band or
right.
something.
But they dress really weird. They
all
have costumes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
We played. I think mostly just a bunch of covers, and then one song called "The Beast from the Sea."
Nice.
That.
But do you remember like were you the type of person that would get nervous when you're playing in front of people, or was it just so ingrained in you from the years and years of growing up around it and growing up around your parents, like, you know, playing music and everything like that, like it was just like second nature, just getting up and playing for people?
That's a good question. I really don't remember if I was nervous or not.
We did hit on this earlier, that you don't remember things very well.
Yeah,
so.
I kind of let life come and go.
I like you, man. I really like you. Because I always want to be like that, but I'm not.
I'm sure there's examples when I've definitely not been like that. But even to this day, I do get a little nervous.
Do you?
Even... for a small show that's not sold out, you know, I definitely still get a touch of,
that makes you more nervous than having like a sold out show, like having a full room.
Oh no, I'm definitely more nervous for a sold out show.
Oh, but, you are. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I was saying even in those, some, you know, it's only really rare when I have no emotion going onto stage, and
right.
That hasn't happened in a long time, but you know, like when we played Tulsa, Oklahoma for the first time. No offense, people from Tulsa, but no one came. There were like two people and the other band.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, I really, really don't care about this show right now.
How long ago was that? Was that recent or?
No, this was probably 8 years ago or something, or 9 years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I probably got a major rush out of it the first time, and that's probably why I wanted to do it over and over and over again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's great, man.
Yeah.
And are you happy now with how things have turned out, even though that, like, it is a business?
Yeah.
You know, it's your business.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of frustrating things about the music industry.
Yeah.
And something, we had lunch with our label today, Barsook, who's here in Seattle.
Yeah, yeah. Barsook's a great label.
Yeah. And yeah, it was great talking to them. We hadn't gotten a chance to hang in a while, but we were talking about some things, and I was like, is every industry as messed up as the music industry? And they were like,
nope.
Well, they were like, well, did you see The Big Short? The banking industry is much more messed up.
Have you seen that movie?
I have, yeah.
Everybody's been telling me about it, you know, recently, because I feel like it's all happening all over again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I mean,
you know,
what do I know? I'm just a singer. But
but yeah, Christian Bale can teach you something in that movie.
Yeah,
apparently, right?
I really liked it. Yeah, I thought it was.
I got to see that.
I thought it was, if not eye-opening, just reinforcing.
Oh, sure.
Things that we sort of knew.
But, yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, I cut you off. So, difficulties in the music industry.
Oh, yeah.
But for the most part, you get to do something that you love.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it's, yeah, and like I said, also, I'm not qualified to do anything else, so I really need to make this work. So that's why every day, you know, I'm careful about what I eat and what I drink, and I don't do a lot of things that are fun because they won't help me perform the next day. Or,
yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah, we all work really hard at it and feel super lucky. So, and happy, you know, we have fun. I think if it wasn't fun anymore, then it wouldn't be worth these sacrifices, but, it's just a real pleasure, and it feels great to see people getting engaged and to have connections that with people that you don't know is really special. So yeah, we feel great.
That's fantastic, man.
Yeah.
I like that.
Cool.
I really do.
Cool.
And the new album sounds awesome.
Thanks.
I got to give you a lot of props. I've been a fan of your guys's for a long time, and, and it's been a pleasure and an honor talking with you.
Well, I had a great time. Thanks for talking with me.
Was it better than the other interview? Don't answer that. Don't answer that question.
No,
Wes Miles, thank you so much, man.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, I guess that's our new tagline, folks. Air Raid, better than that other interview. Wes Miles of Rah Rah Riot, they are on tour right now, folks. And let me just call this back up so I can tell you about their tour dates. Let's see. Today, Monday, April 4th of 2016, they're at the Bluebird Theater in Denver, Colorado. Get your tickets at rahrahriot.com. Then the 6th, Wednesday, the Riot Room. Rah Rah Riot playing at the Riot Room. Get it? In Kansas City, Missouri. April 7th at the Triple Rock Social Club in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Let's see, Friday, April 8th, Lincoln Hall in Chicago, Illinois, which is sold out, and they added another date. They're going to be playing the 9th, Saturday, again at Lincoln Hall, to you know, make it so you can get your tickets, all right, Chicago? So do that. April 11th, A&R Music Bar in Columbus, Ohio, and on and on and on it goes. Go to rahrahriot.com. Find all the tour dates there and get your hands on their new album. It is fantastic. It is called Need Your Light. The song that we played in the middle right there was Bad Times, and it's fantastic. That's like one of my favorite cuts off of the album. Also, Deep Sea Diver, Big thanks to Jessica and Peter for coming on the show and being so candid and talking about, you know, the trials and tribulations of putting out their own record, starting their own label. They, once again, are going to be Tuesday, 3rd of May, 2016, at the Catalyst at Santa Cruz, California. Then Wednesday, the 4th of May, the Independent, San Francisco. They're also playing Timber Festival. Timber Festival in July, people. They will be at Timberfest. I will be the MC there once again. I hope. Actually, that is not confirmed, but it is confirmed that Deep Sea Diver will be there in Carnation, Washington, playing Timberfest. Okay? Air Raid exclusive. That's right. That's right. You can subscribe to Air Raid on iTunes, and if you do, please take a moment to rate the show. We've been getting some new ratings and reviews up there, and it only takes a couple seconds. Just give us a 5-star review. We are also available on the Stitcher, TuneIn, and Cairo Radio apps, or just visit www.air-raid.net to subscribe directly to our RSS feed. Keep in touch by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/theairraidpodcast, or follow us on Twitter at airraidnet, and you can email me directly at aaron@air-raid.net. And remember to take the pledge, folks. Take the pledge to tell somebody about this show. Let's see. Take the pledge to sign them up while they're not looking. Subscribe them to the show when they don't even know that you're on their phone. Make sure you have their password first. That's how you do it, okay? And it's not even illegal. I checked on it. It's not illegal to subscribe somebody to a podcast without them knowing. So you're all safe, okay? Keep on spreading the word, folks. Spread this around on your social medias. Remember to, if you like the show, remember to like our posts on Facebook. If you see it pop up, even if you don't like the episode, just, you know, just share it. Share it. Spread it around. That's how the word gets out, right? The archives. You guys got to go back into the archives. A lot of our shows now are on Spreaker.com. And so you can go into the archives. If you like this episode with Deep Sea Diver and Rah Rah Riot, maybe you'll like our episode with Mike McCready of Pearl Jam. Or, let's see, Scott Aukerman of Comedy Bang Bang. Or what about Bob Saget or Duff McKagan, founding member of Guns N' Roses. Or Chris Walla, formerly of Death Cab for Cutie. Or just tons of other indie bands out there, like, let's see, Cumulus, for example. Okay? La Luz, Shannon and the Clams. Yeah, man, it's all there, right there, at air-raid.net or on Spreaker.com. Okay? All right, we're going to go out today with the song Water off of the new album Need Your Light on Barsook Records. This is Rah Rah Riot. I have been Aaron Roden, your host. Thank you so much for listening, folks. Have a great week. We'll be right back.
on your mind.